All right, here we are, self-publishing a book online series. I have been talking about this for a while on the podcast. In fact, today marks the 12th episode of self-publishing a book online, and we've ventured over into the territory of aggregate publishing. And we're going to discuss just a little bit more detail, an aggregate publisher named Bookricks. You ever heard of them? You haven't? Well, I'm going to introduce you to Bookricks Publishing, so you want to make sure you stay tuned to today's episode.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
And this is episode number 73 here of the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast, and I'm absolutely tickled to death that you've taken a little bit of time out your day to spend a little bit of time with me to talk about one of my favorite things in self-publishing books, and of course, self-publishing books online. But before we do jump into that, I just want to let you know this podcast would not be possible without the support of fine sponsors out there. That's right, they pay for the overhead. They make sure I don't go poor or I go starving when I go into making these podcasts. So that's why I want to kind of segue perfectly over into our exclusive sponsor here, Archangel Inc. Archangel Inc. is the premier done-for-you full-service self-publishing services provider. Their goal is to make the self-publishing process streamlined and simple for their clients. While they handle all the details and dirty work, with quotation marks, of production and publishing, from cover design and editing to ebook and paperback typesetting to audiobook production and ghostwriting, Archangel Inc. is designed to make the process as simple and turnkey as possible for authors and businesses to professionalize their written work and focus their energies on their highest value work. And that's why I love these guys so much, and I've actually used them for typesetting for my ebook and my print books, and more recently I used their cover design service. I highly recommend both of them, and most importantly, even the covers themselves are just chef's kiss. Yes, it's beautiful. So you want to go take a look at that at dalelinks.com/archangelinc. I've got the link inside the show notes, so you can actually go take a look at it from yourself. When you go on over there, let them know Dale sent you on over. All right, so here we are, self-publishing books online. I'm in the 12th episode. You'd think that there's going to be some end in sight, but believe it or not, I was just speaking with my live audience there on Twitch, and I let them know that we've actually got more to get through. And the reason why I'm doing this is I want to show you the options that you have available to you. And as you're listening to some of these options, I want you to kind of think, is it a good fit for your goals? Is this going to be something that makes the most sense? And when it comes to self-publishing a book, these options can be so much, can be so overwhelming. One of the nice avenues is through aggregate publishing. Now, aggregate publishers function like this. You upload your book on over to their platform, and they distribute it to various platforms on your behalf. And typically, it's for either a subscription-based fee, and you get no revenue share, or you upload it for free, and there's a revenue share. And that's where Bookricks comes in, actually. They are an aggregate publisher that does a revenue share model, and they've been around since 2007. I found it pretty surprising because I never heard anything about them until about a couple of years ago when Pronoun Publishing had went out of business. That was a Macmillan publishing company. They had an interesting model, and you were able to collect 100% of all earnings. And I guess that's why Pronoun's probably out of business. And when I was looking for alternatives, somewhere to go, Bookricks came up on my radar. Someone said, hey, have you looked into them? And, you know, I think I looked at them, but for whatever reason, I just didn't settle with them. I think I ended up going with PublishDrive after all. But a full disclosure, as we're going into this here, most times I typically try to share my experience with a given platform. But this week is going to be different because I'm just curating the information. So I've never used them. And honestly, beyond just maybe a couple of viewers had told me they'd use their platform, that's about the only thing I know is secondhand information. And they didn't seem unhappy with it. And in fact, actually, here's something that will make it really super easy for you. They only distribute ebooks. That's it. They don't distribute print books. They don't distribute audiobooks, and it doesn't look like it's going to be on their radar or nor on their map. So at this point, I would say if you're looking for an ebook distribution platform that aggregates out for you on behalf of you, then that's great. So you're going to want to make sure you listen in here this whole time here, because there's a lot of information and there's a little bit of fine print that kind of makes me slow down just a little bit. And I spent, you know, a good few hours trying to figure out the deal here with Bookricks. Just a heads up, you must have 2,000 words as a minimum to upload to that platform. Now, you think about other distribution platforms, like say, for instance, Kindle Direct Publishing, you can upload, you know, any size. If you had 3 words, you can just upload it, which I wouldn't recommend, but you get the idea. You have to have at least 2,000 words in order to upload there. So already, if you've got a 1,000 word short story or maybe a small collection of poems under 2,000 words, then chances are likely Bookricks ain't going to work out for you. The file types that they accept for ebooks is doc, docx, odt, text, RTF, and EPUB. So no Mobi. You can't take your Mobi files from Kindle and bring it on over there. They don't want it. Here's the catch. This is the part that kind of gets me scratching my head, but I guess it's kind of cool. They have something that's called the Bookricks Editor. Now, Bookricks Editor essentially is a way that you can upload all those different file types, and you can just go in and edit it and get it ready for the files that they're going to end up turning it into. So even if you bring in EPUB, they're going to still put you through the Bookricks Editor. So there's one little hoop you've got to kind of jump through. Now, it could be a nice thing, because if, for instance, you only have access to, say, Microsoft Word or Kingsoft Office, then chances are very likely you're probably like, whew, okay, got something that will format my ebooks and it doesn't cost me anything. Awesome. Now, I can't speak on how good or bad it is. I just know that it's there. And they have, from what they were saying, intuitive features that you can kind of figure your way around the whole thing. As far as distribution goes, here's where I had to do a little bit of digging, because this grinds my gears. And there are some platforms that are guilty of this, that they're not fully transparent. Ingram, for instance, is not fully transparent about where they're distributing to. And it is absolutely just unnerving, because I would like to know where my book is going to. It's not I think at one point I was speaking with Ingram and they were like, oh, well, it's underneath a privacy agreement. Privacy agreement? My book's going over there. I should know this. I should know every single one of your 40,000 partners. That way, if I don't want to distribute through you, then it's, you know, let's go ahead and call it a day. And Bookricks, I just kept digging and digging and digging. And now they are pretty much straightforward. Like, they have Amazon, Apple, Baker & Taylor, Barnes & Noble, Google Play Books, Kobo, Tolino, and then something I'd never heard of. And apparently it's like a German phrase, Sunstige. Sunstige, I think is the name of it. I tried looking up this platform, could not find it. And there's other areas where they say Amazon, Apple, Google, Kobo, Tolino, and more. I didn't find any more than the ones I just listed to you. And those are good. I'm not saying anything bad about it. Between Tolino and Baker & Taylor, you're getting even wider distribution. And if I'm not mistaken, it's like subscription-based services and library-based services. So that's good. That's not bad. But I feel almost like there needs to be a bit more transparency by Bookricks as to what all that is. And just making it publicly available. Like, this is what we have. But this is one thing they are really good about. They'll tell you, you get 70% of all net profits, 70% royalty. That means Bookricks brings in 30%. Now, you're going to compare that to, say, Smashwords, 15%, or Drafted Digital, 15%. You're losing nearly double that by going to Bookricks. Now, remember, it's an aggregate publisher. That means they're distributing it to the various platforms, and they're collecting a percentage of your net profits. So let's say your book is priced at $2.99 and you distribute it over to Amazon KDP. KDP has a revenue model of 70%. Well, then you're going to collect 70% of that 70%. And they will collect, Bookricks will collect 30% of that 70%. See how it's kind of just breaking down? So they actually have a price and profit calculator on their website. And unfortunately, you probably have to just kind of Google it up or look around their website. It's pretty easy to find. But the price and profit calculator is pretty neat. They showed about roughly 6 of those platforms. And that's where I'm like, that's where I don't like the ambiguity. Like, they have just a handful of them, but like, what about this one here? What about this one here? They didn't have all of them. So But at any rate, you're able to adjust this calculator based on the pricing that you want to set it at and the file size. That is a huge difference. And a lot of people, when they're publishing their ebooks, don't realize it actually usually costs money to distribute your ebook. Yeah, KDP, by the way, just kind of slips that in there. Not too many people realize that based on your file size, there's delivery fees involved. Thankfully, though, Bookricks built that into their pricing calculator. So that one right there, big banana sticker, well done, Bookricks. So I kind of broke it down. I thought, okay, let's see what it would kind of, you know, suss out to be here. What would we bring home? So let's say, for instance, our ebook is priced at $299 and the file size we'll say is half a megabyte, which, you know, that's most short books will be about that long. If it's real graphically intense, then obviously it's going to probably be a bit more than that. But you're looking, if you're distributing to Amazon, you'd be getting a royalty of about $1.50. Okay. That's what you're bringing home after they have taken the fees and such like that. Apple, you get about $1.28. Google, you get $1.20. And Kobo, you get about $1.18. And SunStage, again, not really sure what the company is, couldn't find it, is $1.22. I was kind of going through all the various pages, and at one point or another, I saw a limitation on how much you can price your ebook. Now, this is not going to be a problem for a lot of you. You know, you can start out your book at pricing at $0 if you wanted to. And you can go up to as high as $49. Now, you're probably going, okay, well, how's that a problem? Well, over on, say, for instance, KDP, if you were to upload there, I think your ceiling is $299 on an ebook. Now, I'm sorry I haven't fact-checked that one, but all that to say that it's considerably more. It's a couple hundred bucks as a minimum that you can go all the way up to. Now, if you plan on pricing your ebook that high, big kudos to you. But if you're thinking of doing it through Bookricks, then you may have another thing coming. I tried to find this information maybe duplicated in an FAQ or somewhere else on their website, but I couldn't find that. So I don't know if this is a hard and fast rule for them. All right, so next things to kind of consider here is Bookricks will provide you an ISBN. Or you bring your own ISBN. There is some ambiguity on here because actually I opened up their contract. Yes, they got contracts, believe it or not. And we're going to talk about those contracts here towards the end of the podcast. But I reviewed the contract, and inside the contract, it clearly states you're supposed to bring your own ISBN. But on their website, they lead you to believe that, no, they'll provide you with an ISBN when you go ahead and publish with them. Okay, that's great. Now, those of you who aren't familiar, an international standard book number is essentially a way of identifying your book, something unique. And you normally need an ISBN for your print books. And some ebooks, if you're distributing, say, through just Amazon, you don't need an ISBN. But on other platforms, such as Bookricks, you will need the ISBN in order to distribute to all the other platforms. So they will assign you one, but again, inside the contract, this is where it kind of had me scratch my head. They're kind of contradicting themselves, where they say, bring your own. So I would highly recommend that you review their contract if you end up going through their website, just to make sure everything's on the up and up. All right, so there's other miscellaneous things involved with Bookricks, including you can create an author profile. Bookricks also has a community of over 510,000 readers and book buyers, according to them. I'm quoting them on this one. They actually have their own online Bookricks store. I think it's available at bookricks.co that people can visit and they can buy your books. So that's kind of a nice thing that you can distribute directly through Bookricks. With that said, that means you're collecting 70%, which that's a good model. That's not bad. You compare it, though, over to something like, say, Lulu. If you distribute through a site, I think it's like 80 or 90% for ebooks. 80%, I'm barely certain, was for the print books. It might have been 90% for the ebooks. I'll have to double check on that one. But it's still nice. 70%, not bad. Their dashboard, this is neat that they have. You can actually track the rank of your book on Bookricks through your dashboard. That right there, that would be such a phenomenal feature if Amazon KDP would do that inside our dashboard, because all of us authors hate having to go either through our Amazon Author Central profile to find out our ranking, or go laboriously over onto our, you know, our product page, hitting refresh every 2 seconds to see our Amazon bestseller rank, and of course you know, slowly etching away and eroding the relevancy of our title since we're not buying it. So it'd be nice if they would do what Bookrix is doing. And Bookrix actually has tracking for ABSR, the Amazon bestseller rank. So not only do they track your rank for Bookrix, they'll actually do it for Amazon. Oh my gosh. Someone, please send KDP a memo and say, look what Bookrix is doing. Do that. That would be a big game changer for KDP and something I would think that wouldn't really take too much time for them to implement into their dashboard. I mean, just something simple right below it that just says, here's the rank. Fantastic. That'd make life a little bit easier. So chef's kiss on that one. Ah, love it. Fantastic work, Bookrix. All right. Next one is they actually, you can link your social media accounts to your Bookrix account. And essentially it makes for easy social sharing. That simple. Kind of like that. That's neat. Bookrix also doubles as kind of like a social media platform. So you can actually friend people. You can send direct messages, things like that. You can connect with, you know, friends and the like. Okay, cool. That's nice. And then they have resources and community support to help with the publishing process. So they make sure that you're all set up. And if for some reason you're kind of kicking the tire, you're not sure if Bookrix is going to be right for you, maybe go kick around on their website, look at some of the resources and join one of their communities and see if it's going to be a good fit. See how everybody's kind of interacting. I didn't take the time to go look because it started getting down to the wire for this specific podcast. And I was like, you know what? I'll let everybody else to go ahead and take a look at that. If you go there and you discover there's a dumpster fire, sorry. But at any rate, their payouts. Okay, here's how their payouts work. This is the part that just kind of catches me. And you can hear me laughing for good reason because they pay out monthly. Okay, not bad at first, right? And you have to have 10 euros or roughly $14 before they will pay you out. Okay, that minimum threshold's not too bad. So it indicates to me Bookrix is definitely a European company. Here's the part that I laugh about is they pay out on a 12-week cycle. Okay. All right, we're going to go with that. And the reason is they probably wait for all of the aggregate distributors to account for all the sales before they pay you out to make sure all the ducks are in a row and any refunds are accounted for. Makes sense. So, for example, your June royalties will end up getting paid out at the end of September. July royalties will get paid out at the end of October. See what I mean? So it's like a 12. So when you publish there for the first time, you're going to have a long delay before you see your first paycheck if you know you make sales in that first month. And typically you're going to see your paycheck between the 25th of the month and the 31st of the month is what they said. And here's the catch. And this is, I'm sorry if you're a global listener and you're listening into this and going, okay, this sounds good. I'm going to go for Bookrix. Okay, hold your horses. You must have PayPal. There's no checks. There's no wire transfers. There's no direct deposits. PayPal. That's it. That's all they'll do. I looked everywhere just to make sure, and they made it under no uncertain terms. They made it very clear that it's PayPal or nothing. So there is that. I'm not sure that I'm the biggest fan of having to use PayPal since PayPal takes their little cut of things. But, you know, it is an option, and especially for those of you out there maybe that don't have a bank account, but we also run into the issue of, well, how do you get that money, and is PayPal available in your region? Yeah, so, hey, I do have my final thoughts on Bookrix and some things to consider before you even step foot into that realm, but before we do that, I've actually been talking about this for the past couple of months, and I think it's would behoove me to go ahead and say it again. My goal this year in 2020 is to positively impact over 100,000 authors and self-publishers' lives in some meaningful way. Whether I helped you make a little extra money by giving you some of the free resources that I do, or if I've coached you in some capacity and you've been able to publish a number of books, or maybe you picked up a tidbit that you learned just a little bit more, or maybe I've helped you pass time in your commute and you learn a little bit more about self-publishing the process through my podcast. And if all of that pertains to you or something that is similar to that, then I've positively impacted your life. It made a huge, big, big world of a difference to me. If you would subscribe to my YouTube channel, Self-Publishing with Dale, And you can do that over at dalelinks.com/YouTube. I've got that link inside the show notes, of course. But go on over there, hit that subscribe, ring the bell notification icon. When I hit that 100,000 subscribers, we're going to have a big celebration, and you're going to be part of that 100K sub club. And I want to make sure that I reward some of you folks for doing that. And so that would mean the world to me. That's one of the best ways I can be able to measure the success. And we're getting nearly 40,000 subscribers at this point, which is incredible to say. So thank you so much for entrusting me and hitting that subscribe on YouTube. All right, so here we go. Is Book Ricks worth it? Oh, man. This was where I found myself at a little bit of a crossroads that I have to be very honest with you folks and tell you my opinion about some stuff. I can tell you one opinion by someone very reputable in the business, reputable, easy for me to say, right? Is the Alliance of Independent Authors. Ally has what's called a watchdog services list. If you go over to dalelinks.com/watchdog, or you just go over to Ally and look up their watchdog services, and you search up some of these services and some of these platforms. So for instance, this past week, we talked about BookBaby, and they had a excellent rating. They're aligned with Ally. BookRicks, not so much. They actually have a cautionary tag put on them. And there's two areas, actually technically three if we looked at it. There's two concerns, primarily in marketing and contract. With marketing, anytime there's an issue that Ally brings it up, typically it has something to do with high pressure sales, overhyped services, unsolicited email, phone calls, and other forms of spam. So when they, and I'm not saying that BookRicks does all of them. I'm not saying they do any of them. I'm just saying this is what Ally has put on there. So most likely they're guilty of one of those things. Now the next one is going to be their contract. And I went through and read this contract, and it seems like their contract, they might have made it years ago, but haven't updated it since. Because the issue with the bring your own ISBN, and then they say on their webpage that they provide the ISBN for you, and I'm kind of like, what? So the contract, anytime Ally brings this up, it's usually pertaining to something with rights grabs, vague language, termination fees, or other contract terms that work to the author's disadvantage. I didn't see anything about termination fees. I did notice that if you want to terminate your contract, they're like, hey, cool, just let us know, but there's going to be a little bit of a delay to propagate across each one of the platforms that we already distributed to. So it'll take sometimes upwards of, I think it was said, 4 to 6 weeks, and in some instances, 6 to 8 weeks. So it doesn't seem like the contract is too binding. I don't know if it's changed since, but I didn't see any termination fees. The language didn't align with they currently have on there. So it might be possible that BookRicks needs to see about visiting their lawyer again and redrafting the contract to where it's a bit more clear and aligns with what they're doing today. And the other area that they actually were marked for underneath notes was troubling contract terms and spammy marketing. And just that alone prevented me from opening up an account. I was like, nah, I don't have time to be getting beat up inside my email inbox by somebody. So I just didn't even set up an account. So to me, is BookRicks worth it? It appears to be an all or nothing situation with them. If you're distributing elsewhere, they say pretty much like, hey, you must create a new edition in a separate ISBN. So let's just say, for instance, you have your own ISBN with your own imprint. You should be able to distribute to each one of those platforms with that same ISBN. Not so with BookRicks. BookRicks is like, no, if you're going to use our platform, you're going to use a different edition. That kind of makes me leery. And I couldn't find any clear distribution avenues or the fact that could I deselect any of those. Believe it or not, there actually are some aggregate distributors, and I'll talk about one of them in the upcoming podcasts, that it's all or nothing. You either take all of their distribution or you don't use them at all. So there, I didn't see any clear representation or any transparent communication on BookRicks' platform of, okay, if I wanted to deselect Amazon, I could do that here. And if I wanted to deselect Barnes & Noble, I could do that here. So is BookRicks worth it? To me, I'm going to say I'm going to be very, very leery, but I'm going to keep an eye on them. They look like a platform. They've been around since 2007. They're going to be here to stay. So maybe we just give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they'll prove to be worthwhile in the long term. But for right now, I'm just going to say be very cautious if you end up using their platform. And let me know if you've used them before and you've been very happy with them. I'd definitely love to hear from you. And if you've had the opposite, definitely hit me up for sure. Hey, folks, as we start to wrap up today's podcast, do me a huge favor. Subscribe or follow me on your preferred podcasting platform and leave a review. And if you're watching me on the YouTube podcast, leave a comment, of course. In the meantime, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will chat with you next week when we'll be talking about StreetLib. I had to give a little bit of emphasis there. We're going to be talking about StreetLib this very next week, a platform I've actually heard before. We're going to talk a little bit more in deep dive. Till then, folks, talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.